Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
All righty, hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 21st day of April 2021. It's a Wednesday, hump day. The weekend is halfway here. I'm Derek Hunter. I'm your host. Thank you for tuning in, downloading, even the people who wrote nasty reviews on iTunes. There are a couple of them up. One star, Derek sucks reviews. I don't really care. But I still read them because I think they're funny. But thanks to all of them. Don't forget about the Curse program at patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast coming up every Saturday at midnight for your listening pleasure and the release of stress. It is Wednesday. As such, we play a pre-recorded ad with our lovely, lovely sponsor, Ronnie McMullen. So before we get into the Chauvin trial verdict and everything else that's going on, let's get to that. Joining me on the phone right now is Ronnie McMullen, the proprietor of AncientLifeOil.com. Ronnie, one of the things people ask me about AncientLifeOil.com is what's different about your CBD oil compared to the stuff that people see at the gas station?
Testing. Our product is tested. We have COAs and it's non-GMO. It's all organic. And this is a major difference of quality. When you go to buy Ancient Life Oil CBD, you're buying the Ferrari. If you go to the grocery store, you might maybe get a bicycle. And this affects how it works on you as well. So if you're trying to fight anxiety or you're wanting to sleep better and you have a product that's not doing its job, you're not going to get the benefits that you're supposed to be getting out of CBD. So then why buy it? But if you buy high quality, which is what Ancient Life Oil is, you're going to get what you're looking for as far as the benefit factor.
AncientLifeOil.com, your place for 100% pure organic CBD oil. Enter promo code HUNTER at checkout and get free fast shipping. Ronnie, thank you.
Thank you.
Love Ronnie McMullen. Thank you to him. And thank you to you for patronizing his fine, fine products. Okay, so it was just announced. Derek Chauvin, guilty on every count. I don't know how you're guilty of three different murder. I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know how you're guilty of three different types of murder. But I suspect that upon appeal, there will be an overturning of at least one of them. The second-degree murder one seems like garbage. It just seems impossible to have been proven. But when you've got the media doxing jurors, and it didn't dox them directly. They didn't release their names. But the Minneapolis Star Tribune released a piece called Who Are the Jurors in the Derek Chauvin Trial? And they literally go through each of the jury numbers and give biographical information that makes them all easily identifiable. Makes literally all of them easily identifiable. The juror number 52, a black man in his 30s. He works in banking and coaches youth sports. Huh. How many people do you think fit that description, especially when every left-wing mob fascist is looking for them? Juror number 27, a black man in his 30s. He immigrated to the United States 14 years ago and went to school in Nebraska and moved to Minnesota in 2012. How many people do you think fit that description? It goes on from there. Every juror has their field and what they do and how long they've been there. And like, oh, so Eddie's been missing from work for a very long time. Now I know where he is, and so on, and word just spreads. It was textbook jury intimidation. I don't know. I didn't watch the trial, to be perfectly honest with you. I saw clips of it here and there, but I couldn't care less. Because why? Because I didn't know George Floyd. I tend not to associate with junkies, and I didn't know Derek Chauvin because I didn't live in Minnesota. But I do know a little bit about the law, and I know that second-degree murder is too much, and I suspect that will be tossed out. I'm watching the unfolding of the celebration in the streets afterwards. It reminds me of the OJ trial. Oh, people are so happy. They're cheering, and there are people literally crying. Can I just say this right off the bat? If you are crying over this verdict, you are a sucker. A sucker. Plain and simple. You have fallen prey to media manipulation, the likes of which very few people will ever see in their lifetime. You don't give a damn about George Floyd. How do I know that? Because when George Floyd was alive, you didn't give a damn about him. You didn't help him with his drug addiction. You didn't help him stay straight. You didn't help him not try to pass off counterfeit $20 bills. You didn't help him in any way, shape, or form. Right now, there are how many people like George Floyd out there on the streets? How many of them are these mutant mobs helping? None whatsoever. Oh, they're helping themselves. They're fundraising. They're getting their bail paid. It's the antisocial event of the season. But how many of them actually give a damn? When I was a kid in Detroit, there was a guy named Malice Green, crackhead, got into a fight with cops, refused to open his hands. They were wrestling around. He was resisting arrest, and he ended up dying. He got hit in the head. They hit him in the head with a flashlight, one of those Maglite flashlights. I don't know what killed him, but he was a junkie. Nobody gave a damn about him because he was a junkie. As soon as he died, he became a hero. Now, there are plenty of people in Detroit who deserve the label hero, just like there are plenty of people in Minneapolis who deserve the label hero. George Floyd is not one of them. Malice Green was not one of them. None of the martyred cause celebs in the news and the cases that the media pays attention to are actual heroes or even seemingly all that good people. Not saying they're bad people, but I don't think a junkie, there's not too many junkies with the heart of gold out there. It would be nice if the people who claim to care so desperately about George Floyd actually cared a little bit about the George Floyds of the world while they were alive. Now, how do you do that? You get rid of the scourge of illicit drugs on the street. You help the junkies stay straight. You work with police. Oh my God, did I just say that? Yes, I did. You work with police to get the gangbangers and the drug dealers off the streets. You can't tell me there aren't dozens, if not hundreds of people in the city of Chicago who know exactly who is responsible for dozens, if not hundreds, maybe even thousands of shootings and hundreds of murders. They don't cooperate with police. Why? Because liberal politicians tell them, don't do it. The police are your enemy, because it empowers liberal politicians. So-called community leaders tell them the same thing. Don't try to get ahead. You'll never get ahead. The system is rigged against you. The police are out to get you. They are the real enemy. They need to be defunded. We need to release drug dealers from prison and replace them with police officers, so on and so forth. It is an endless cycle of insanity. If Derek Chauvin deserves to spend the rest or however long in prison, so be it. I don't know. I think he's probably guilty of manslaughter, negligent manslaughter. And however long that means in prison, so be it. But to say that he's guilty of second-degree or even third-degree murder is beyond stupid and will likely be overturned. But again, if you're celebrating this, and there's a jackass on Fox, oh, he's got gold teeth, a gold grill. I don't think they're real teeth. Comes in and flips off the camera and smiling. I'm sure if given the opportunity, he would bitch incessantly about poverty with his gold grill. It's like poor people who are covered in tattoos. Like, oh, so no, you're not really poor. You just have screwed up priorities and are dumb. Okay, I get it now. But if you're crying in celebration or even crying out of outrage and upset, you are being manipulated by the media. You know no one involved in this. You can feel sympathy for sides, but to actually get emotional about it is a level of attachment to something to which you are not associated at all in any way, shape, or form that is crazy, that is wrong, that is nuts, that is textbook media manipulation. Shouldn't be rooting for a side in this. And all the people celebrating in tears of joy, and they'll probably end up burning something before the night is over, because why not? That's what they really gathered there for. Some people had their shopping lists. It's only, you know what, 8 months till Christmas, so you got to stock up on it. If you're really celebrating this, how does your life improve from this? Whose life improves from this? Whose life is made worse from this? Who isn't directly involved in this or directly involved through somebody? No one. Nothing. I don't understand this collective, oh, we did it sort of mentality. You still burned down your neighborhood. Congratulations. Can you eat the satisfaction you feel right now? Can you eat it? Can you eat the satisfaction you feel of about, like, say, the police off, the family ending up spending time apart? Can you eat the family settlement that George Floyd's family's going to get or has already gotten? No, you can't. Whose life was made better by this? Anyone? Meanwhile, what really has pissed me off through all of this is this story out of Chicago. Happened over the weekend and isn't getting any attention. A girl, Jaslyn or Jaslyn, I assume it's Jaslyn, J-A-S-L-Y-N Adams, 7 years old. She was murdered in a drive-thru at a McDonald's in Chicago Sunday afternoon. 7 years old, her and her father in drive-thru, just, you know, a Sunday afternoon, going to get some food with the kid. The kid probably excited to go to McDonald's. Two guys jumped out of a car, walked up to their car, and shot more than 50 rounds into the car, shot the father, he's in critical condition, and murdered a 7-year-old black girl. Murdered her. For what? Nobody knows. Probably nobody will ever know. Nobody's really talking to the police, so on and so forth. It's just sickening. There are no statements from Black Lives Matter. There is no national outcry. There are not people in the streets across the country crying for poor 7-year-old Jaslyn Adams or Jaslyn Adams, who's dead now. Senseless. She never took methamphetamines. She never assaulted anybody else. She never resisted arrest. She did not try to pass off a $20 bill. She was just getting excited about the prospect of probably a Happy Meal, a McNugget Happy Meal. And she's dead now. And nobody gives a damn. So do I care about the George Floyd verdict? No. George Floyd did not make the world a better place. This girl might have. We'll never know because of the mentality of the culture of drug addiction that George Floyd embraced for whatever reason. Took her. There was a family of George Floyd. They got a lot of money. Was George Floyd living with them? I don't think so. Were they taking care of George? No. Jaslyn Adams' family was taking care of her the best they could, trying to show her a good Sunday, and she was executed by two monsters. There is no good reason to kill a 7-year-old under any circumstances. And the NBC News, CBS News, MSNBC, ABC, CNN, and even Fox, they haven't dispatched people to Chicago. They haven't been filming marches, if there have even been marches for justice for Jaslyn. Nothing for Jaslyn. So forgive me if I don't get excited about a guilty verdict in the death of a junkie. And forgive me if I don't get upset over the fact that a police officer who probably should have gotten off the dude long after he had him under control is going to go to prison. I care more about this 7-year-old girl. That's much more important. And that is the thing that is being largely ignored and completely ignored by everybody celebrating in Minneapolis or celebrating across the country like they've just done something. Think of this. How many people were murdered in Minneapolis in the past year? I'm betting it's more than one. How many of them have you heard of? I'm betting it's maybe two. Now, How many people murdered in Chicago over the weekend? I know it's about 10. How many people murdered pretty much anywhere in this country over the past year? It is a lot. Did George Floyd's life matter more than any of them? Hell no, it didn't. It mattered less than many of them because they did not bring it on. That's not to excuse the negligence. Negligent homicide, I think, is a valid charge, but it's to put it in perspective, to tell you why, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm disgusted by this whole thing. I wasn't rooting for either side. I don't have a vested interest in this because I do not know either of them. I am not on the jury. I am not a lawyer. I do suspect that things will be overturned or lessened or dialed back because of the political interference and some of the bad decisions that the judge made. But still, it happened. It's on. Life goes on. Everybody congratulating themselves right now for some sort of weird victory. We'll be back to whining about something else tomorrow. Why? Because that's where they live. That's what they need. That's what they thrive. Misery is the monkey kidneys for the left. Viruses thrive in monkey kidneys and bats of monkey kidneys. They need to culture viruses in them to keep them alive, to be able to study them. Liberalism thrives in misery. They need to keep that alive. They have found their next target, and that will be the next cause celeb. They never gave a damn about George Floyd because they never did a damn thing for George Floyd when they had the chance to. In fact, I bet you they've stepped over a dozen George Floyds in their march celebrating their victory. Congratulations to them. Virtue signaling at its finest. But I suggest everybody just get on with their lives, because whatever happens will happen in the legal system, and your life won't be impacted by it at all. Unless, of course, you're one of the BLM and Antifa fundraisers, then you'll probably get maybe another home this week just from the donations to it. That's my two cents on the whole damn thing. Remember Jaclyn Adams. Forget George Floyd. I have a perfect example of why it's important to read beyond the headlines in this story from the New York Post. The headline, herpes infection possibly linked to COVID-19 vaccine study says. And you think, herpes, whoa, herpes, what? What is going on? Then you read it. Herpes infections may be a side effect of COVID-19 vaccine, experts have revealed. Scientists in Israel identified six cases, again, very few, but still herpes, six cases in a new study of patients developing a skin rash known as herpes zoster or shingles after receiving the Pfizer vaccine, according to a study in the Rheumatology Journal. It goes on from there, but you get the idea. It's not herpes. They put that in the headline to get clickbait. And wouldn't you know it, as of right now, it is the most popular story at the New York Post. Our media sucks. I love that story about herpes. Herpes in the headline. Herpes, the vaccine gives you herpes. Like, oh my goodness. And then it's like, oh wait, no, shingles. It's just a herpes virus. And they knew exactly what they were doing when they wrote that headline. Make no mistake about it. And it worked on me because I was like, whoa, what's this? I've neither been vaccinated nor do I have herpes. And, I was thinking about getting one. And little did I know I could get both. Two birds, one stone. Oh, the media is terrible. Media is absolutely terrible. But they're not the only ones who are terrible. We've got Governor Gretchen Whitmer up there in Michigan, my birth state. Ooh, baby. They've made a massive mistake. And now I begin to see why it happened and how it happened. First of all, Republicans put up a bad candidate. Secondly, the state tends to swing from one side to the other, like they get a Republican governor for a while and they go, oh, we want a Democrat. And then they go, oh, we want a Republican again, and back and forth and so on and so forth. But no one has, with the exception, I'm surprised Whitmer doesn't have a book deal, with the exception of Andrew Cuomo up in New York, no one has martyred themselves and portrayed themselves as a hero of the COVID battle more than Governor Gretchen Whitmer. She had some of the most draconian lockdowns. If you remember at the beginning of this, you weren't allowed to buy seeds at Walmart. You could not buy gardening things, nothing. You were there to buy food and maybe some clothing. People were pointing out how, like, the aisle in Walmart or Meyer's Thrifty Acres, which is a store they have up there, were blocked off. You couldn't buy child car seats. The governor controlled what people could spend their money on. You can go to the store, but you're not allowed to shop for everything the store has. It was ridiculous. It was wildly stupid. But she's a Democrat, so she got all sorts of praise for it. Now Michigan's an absolute disaster area. People, it's the highest infection rate in the country. Even with the lockdowns, it's amazing how lockdowns, it's almost as though lockdowns and mask mandates haven't made much of a difference. Because, you know, Florida is doing pretty well. Texas doing pretty well. It's so to the point that Connecticut is now letting their people go. Mask mandates gone. Limits on, indoor businesses gone. Connecticut, liberal Connecticut. Joe Biden is not calling it Neanderthal thinking up there. And he's almost up with his 100 days. It's going to be very interesting. Joe Biden is actually going to address Congress on his 99th day in office. And I got $20 that says that he will then say that we need to continue wearing masks because of the science. Now, this is the guy who campaigned on, I'm going to ask 100 days, wear a mask. That's it. 100 days. We do that. We can beat this thing. Well, people have been doing it, especially in Michigan. This thing's beating them back. Care to explain that, Mr. Wizard? You can't. So he won't even try. But of course, he won't have to. Who's going to ask him? It's not like he's going to go anywhere where somebody would ask him an honest, legitimate question. So he'll probably say, I didn't say which 100 days. I've only counted 20 days so far of the 100 that I want you to mask up for. So keep it going. Anyway, back to Whitler up there in Michigan. She appeared on Meet the Press the other day. And groused about Florida. Florida, it's everybody's target. Florida, if Florida were half of what the Democrats portray it as, it would literally be a disaster area. The United Nations, in coordination with FEMA, would be airlifting people out of Florida to other locations, trying to save them as the zombie apocalypse overtakes the entire state. It's not happening because it's not happening. They're all lying to you. They just want to hurt Ron DeSantis down there, the governor of Florida. And of course, Chuck Todd, the Ginger Avenger, brings on Gretchen Whitmer to do just that and try and explain away why it is that her state is so awful while Florida is so good. And she tries to basically say that Michigan is overrun with the virus variant that is dominant in Florida. The difference is the number of cases in Florida and the number of deaths in Florida, even if it is the dominant strain. You could say, well, there's 10 cases and six of them are this strain. Okay, that's the dominant strain. But in Michigan, there are literally tens of thousands of cases of this strain. So it's a bit of a difference there and a lot more deaths in a state that's about half the size of Florida. But listen to Governor Whitmer complain about Florida.
Well, at the end of the day, this is going to come down to whether or not everyone does their part. That's the most important thing. This variant, the B117 variant, is what is growing so quickly here in Michigan. We have the second most of it than, I think, right after Florida. At least that was the last data that I saw. Michigan and Florida are not next to each other. But this is the time of the year that snowbirds come home from Florida, where people are going on spring break, and all of these things can contribute to spread. And that's why we're imploring people to take this seriously. Mask up, get tested.
Mask up, get tested. It's worked gangbusters so far. And it's all Florida's fault anyway, because of those damn snowbirds and those spring breakers. Well, you can add somebody else to that list. The governor herself. What? Yes, she was discouraging, and she has been actively trying to discourage people, Michiganders, from traveling to Florida. Do not mix with those Floridians. You know they're the cause of all evil. Well, it started with the Detroit Free Press reporting that she took a trip down there to visit her father. Huh? Recently, before she was vaccinated. Two, on top of it all. Associated Press has the story. Governor Gretchen Whitmer traveled out of state more than a month ago to visit her elderly father, a snowbird. Well, she just announced snowbirds. A snowbird who has lived in Florida and has a chronic disease, her office said Monday. It took them a month to announce this. Now, we're told, especially by the likes of Gretchen Whitmer, that we are in the midst of an absolute emergency, a national emergency, where your liberties must be curtailed in the name of the public good. Don't travel. Don't do anything. If you travel, quarantine yourself, but don't travel. Don't let anybody around you. Don't do anything. Don't do anything. And she secretly went off to Florida. Now, the fact that the governor went to visit her father would not be a scandal, except that she's telling other people not to do that, that they can't do that. And the fact that she didn't announce it, that nobody knew she'd left the state for a couple of days, indicates that she knows full well she was neck deep in hypocrisy in doing so, because otherwise there's no reason to hide it. You're going to visit your father who's got a chronic disease. Every human being would understand that. But she doesn't have to fly commercial. She can fly private. She can fly down there, visit dad, and hopefully nobody knows. And in fact, it took a month for anybody to find out. The disclosure confirmed reporting by the Lansing-based publication MIRS. I don't know what that is. It came weeks after the governor warned the public about spring break trips, particularly to Florida, amid a surge in coronavirus cases. See, the surge in coronavirus cases in the state of Michigan had started before spring break. You can't really blame spring break for that. But again, when you're a wildly dishonest politician, you do whatever the hell you want. If you're a Democrat, you know that you're not going to be called out on it. Two of her top aides, including Michigan's health director, vacationed in southern states despite a state recommendation to avoid travel. So, you know, you lead by example. This is how politicians lead by example for their staffs. Do not travel outside of the state, you peons. But if you want to go down and spend some time at the beach, staff, go right ahead. Spokesman Bobby Letty. Bobby. What kind of adult calls by Bobby? Spokesman Bobby Letty said Whitmer, quote, did not go on spring break. She went to assist her elderly father, who is battling a chronic illness, end quote. He didn't say which state she visited, but the governor said earlier in the pandemic that her father was a snowbird in Florida with a compromised lung function, so she was worried about him. The trip, now this again, this is coming from a Democrat politician who has told people not to travel because it's dangerous. Don't do it. Stay home. Don't buy seeds. Don't buy things that I deem to be unnecessary. Just stay home and do what you're told. Obey. The trip was her third out of state in the past 6 months. She went to President Joe Biden's inauguration in January, probably hoping to get a job in the administration. She got to go there. You got to kiss the ring. And she visited National Guard troops in Washington, D.C. in March. So she came to this region because she wanted the photo op. Oh, look, I care so deeply about the troops here. Whitmer got her first vaccine shot on April 6th, was not vaccinated when she visited her father, but is regularly tested for COVID-19. Her father, 81-year-old Richard Whitmer, a retired president and CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, was fully vaccinated, or so they say. Fully vaccinated in Florida because Ron DeSantis correctly and smartly targeted vaccines towards the most vulnerable population, the elderly, particularly those with chronic conditions. It kind of tells you something that Richard Whitmer had to go to Florida to get vaccinated, that he would choose at a time of problems and a pandemic to go to a state his daughter doesn't run. Doesn't that kind of tell you something? Your daughter's in charge of the state. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm getting the hell out of here. I'm leaving. Now, Blue Cross and Blue Shield is, you know, it's a gigantic health insurance company. I always had Blue Cross and Blue Shield. That was what the UAW had. That was what my dad got growing up. He always asked for the Blue Cross card. Something tells me that Richard Widmer is not hurting for money, has a lot of money. And then you begin to realize, as you connect the dots in your head, this is how someone so incompetent could make a career in politics. Somebody who has been exposed so many different times. She was banning travel within the state, and her husband went to their vacation home, and she thought nothing of it. Banning people from doing things like going out on boats, and her husband was trying to get their boat out on the lake using her name. Like, oh, does it matter that my wife is the governor? Like, no, it doesn't. But I'm going to call the press and rat you out. This is how Democrats function. The rules are for you little people. Learn your place. Come on. Learn your place and stick to it. If you get too uppity, there's going to be problems. Meanwhile, she's jetting all over the place. Top staff going on vacations. Well, don't worry. We were safe. We were safe. How do you know? We're told this thing lurks everywhere and can get anybody at any time. There is no safe. The only safe is to listen to President Fauci. If you're not vaccinated, don't see anybody. Don't even make eye contact with anybody. Just stay away from everybody. Unless you're a Democrat, and then you can do whatever the hell you want. You want to talk about hypocrisy right there. That should be wildly disqualifying for elected office in the future. She should just be so embarrassed that she would, I don't know, not resign, because they're never that embarrassed, but do something to show some kind of contrition. But it's just not in Democrats. She is defiant. She is obstinate about it. It does not matter. Do as I say, not as I do. That is the liberal creed. It's probably their tattoos in Latin or in Chinese characters. Probably don't actually read what they say it does. Hypocrites. I'm going to pull this one out of the We Are Out of Problems file, because I truly believe that we are out of problems as a society, and so we manufacture of them. And so many of the things that people get in an uproar about, particularly leftists, get triggered by our garbage that people around the rest of the world look at us and go, really, this is what you focus on? And people from the past would not be able to stop vomiting uncontrollably over the fact that we get worked up about such ridiculous things. Demi Lovato is a singer. She can sing. I saw her do her sound check or whatever at the Democrat convention in 2016. I guess that was in Philadelphia. I had the press pass, so I was walking around, and there was not a lot of other people in the room. I'm not a fan, not my type of music, but she can sing. She's got a voice, and all the kids love her. And apparently she took to her Instagram account the other day to go off wildly on her local yogurt, frozen yogurt shop, because they offer too many sugar-free options. I'm not kidding. Too many sugar-free options. She's very upset that they have so many sugar-free options. Everybody wrote this up. Like, oh no, the LA Times, she blasted her local yogurt shop. She apologized for it. Glamour magazine wrote it up. People magazine wrote it up. CNN wrote it up. NBC News wrote it up. Now she's apologizing. She's apologizing. Because, of course, if you point out that there's a whole bunch of sugar-free options, what are you doing? Inherently, you're body shaming somebody. You're fat shaming. You're not allowed to say that anymore. It's weird, because something like 78% of COVID deaths occur in people who are, you know, morbidly obese. But we can't body shame anybody, because you're healthy at any size. Healthy at absolutely any size, except for the size that gets you killed from a virus that is relatively harmless to you if you're otherwise healthy. But it's healthy, or so we're told. So CNN has the story. Demi Lovato apologized after her complaints about a frozen yogurt shop caused a backlash from those wanting her to chill out. It's a professional journalist writing this, by the way. The singer and actress, who has been open about her struggles with body image and an eating disorder, posted a video Monday explaining why she shamed the Big Chill in Los Angeles over the weekend for promoting sugar-free cookies and other diet foods. quote from Demi Lovato. I'm very outspoken about the things I believe in. I understand that sometimes my messaging can lose its meaning when I get emotional. I am human. Why don't you just say, I'm a spoiled brat. Nobody tells me no. I can do whatever I want. I'm sorry it offended you. Please buy my merch. I don't want to get a real job for a living. Lovato used the Instagram stories on her verified Instagram account over the weekend to criticize the shop after spotting, quote, tons of sugar-free and other diet foods, end quote, there. Quote, please do better, she wrote, along with hashtag diet culture vultures, which she said would be used to call out companies, should be used to call out companies and brands that, quote, perpetuate a society that not only enables but praises disordered eating, end quote. Again, we have a pandemic that disproportionately kills, not just infects, but kills the morbidly obese. She has body images, whatever. I couldn't care less. The fact that there are a lot of people with diabetes from, you know, drinking gallons of Coke and whatever else, unhealthy lifestyle. I'm not talking about type 1, I'm talking about type 2. No letters, please. But that she is triggered by that is in her. And she's also, I would say, a bit of a science denier if you really want to throw the book at her. But she's a celebrity. She's allowed to get away with it because celebrities are horrible people, but our culture worships them and rewards them with riches, which just empowers them with more followers and a bigger platform from which to spew their stupidity. Should make it a law that you can't have a recording contract till you graduate high school. Well, well, well. Hollywood hypocrisy. We can get to this. This is, it's not really even hypocrisy. It is somebody showing some sanity in Hollywood, and therefore they must be destroyed. The Los Angeles Times had a big story, a big scoop today. They got their hands on some internal emails. Now, these are the people who, for a decade or more, knew what Harvey Weinstein was up to and were perfectly cool with what Harvey Weinstein was up to. They didn't care. He was making money. He was the talk of the town. Come on. He's always got a hot young actress on his arm when his wife isn't there. It's perfectly normal in Hollywood. The ladies love Harvey. And come to find out what everybody already knew, that the ladies didn't love Harvey. The ladies were harassed and forced to love Harvey. Well, they got themselves a scoop. The former head, or the former Hollywood Foreign Press Association president, faces backlash over email calling Black Lives Matter a racist movement. Oh no, the horror, the horror. Well, they are a racist movement. Sorry to break it to you, but they are. And it's kind of funny, the outrage that this is covering. Now, what did he say? What did he do aside from calling it a racist movement, or I should say pointing out that it's a racist movement? Well, the Hollywood Reporter has the story, because now they are, they're coming for it. They're coming for the Hollywood Foreign Press Association and the former head of it, because they must be destroyed. If you stray from acceptable thought, you must be destroyed. First story, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association apologizes for ex-president's email calling Black Lives Matter a racist movement. Yes, they all run around and try to. You can't apologize yourself out of not being woke enough. There's just no way. It says, as its self-imposed May 5th deadline to announce specific structural changes rapidly approaches, with time's up and more than 100 PR firms waiting to see if they are satisfactory, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association board is reportedly considering taking action to punish Philip Burke, punish him for saying what he believes and what I think a damn strong case could be made for. The Hollywood Foreign Press Association, the organization of LA-based journalists for outlets headquartered abroad, which hosts the Golden Globes, just keeps digging an even deeper hole. The Hollywood Foreign Press Association has been in hot water ever since February 21st. Los Angeles Times article identified that its currently counts zero black people among its 87 voting members. Ooh, the race counters are out there. Now, it's foreign journalists from other countries. They can't control who's sent here, and maybe, just maybe, black journalists have better things to do than cover vapid Hollywood stars, but that can't be the case. Not to vapid Hollywood stars. They're the only thing that matters in their minds. So ridiculous. Under fire from Time's Up, the organization vowed on its February 28th telecast and in subsequent communications to do better. Now they're finding out that, quote, the members still don't quite get it. Philip Burke, an 88-year-old member and 8-term past president who has previously brought disrepute on the organization via a controversial memoir, and when actor Brendan Fraser accused Burke of groping Fraser's buttocks, sent an email Sunday to his fellow members. Now, why was this guy allowed to be in there? If he's got these allegations against him, I don't think Brendan Fraser's going to be making stuff up, but even if he is inclined to, what happened to believe all victims? Sent to his fellow members an email, and the COO, forwarding an article from a right-wing website that slammed Black Lives Matter as a, quote, racist hate movement, and its co-founder, Patrice Cullors, for purchasing a home in Topanga Canyon. Quote, the house is down the road from one of the homes involved in the Manson murders, which seems only appropriate since Manson wanted to start a new race war, the missive says in part, and Black Lives Matter is carrying out Manson's work. He also called her a committed Marxist. A committed Marxist. So the criticisms of this guy and why he's likely, I mean, he's 88 years old, it's probably time to hang it up anyway, but being a Hollywood correspondent for some vapid news outlet overseas probably isn't backbreaking work. But that's his sin. For that, he needs to be run out of it. Not Brendan Fraser, not allegedly sexually assaulting Brendan Fraser. Again, these are the very same people who justified or ignored or giggled about and laughed with Harvey Weinstein for so long and pretty much every actor in Hollywood. But because he called BLM a racist hate group and pointed out that Patrice Cullors is a committed Marxist, I love how they frame it as they called her a committed Marxist. And it's like, well, she is. She is. And as a matter of fact, just to illustrate that point, I have audio of Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors saying that she and one of the other two founders of Black Lives Matter, who knows how many real estate properties they own, are in fact trained and committed Marxist. So it's not the LA Times with this big scoop of, oh my goodness, can you believe they called somebody who's a committed Marxist a committed Marxist? Yeah, they did, because she called herself a committed Marxist. Not making it up. True story. Listen to it for yourself.
I also think that it might... I think of a lot of things. The first thing I think is that we actually do have an ideological frame. Myself and Alicia in particular are trained organizers. We are trained Marxists. We are super versed on sort of ideological theories.
Yeah, we're trained Marxists. We're trained Marxists. Not that we reject it. We don't reject it. We actually kind of dig it. We love it. I mean, especially when you're not held to any standards. You can say you're a trained Marxist, you can employ Marxist and fascistic tactics, and still get fabulously wealthy off of it. Why the hell wouldn't you be a trained Marxist? It ups your speaking fees on college campuses. Trust me, if you want to get into that racket, calling yourself a trained Marxist will add another zero to that check pretty easily. But this is now a scandal rocking Hollywood. That somebody said what at least half the country believes. And half of what that somebody said, you know, you can say half the country believes that Black Lives Matter is a racist hate group, because they are. But there's no real debate over whether or not Patrice Cullors is a trained Marxist, a committed Marxist. She said it right there. That was not a phone call that was recorded. That was a video chat. It's actually accompanying video with that to prove that it is her. That, and you just read what Black Lives Matter has on their own website, and you go, oh, this smacks an awful lot like Marxism, because it does. It does. But this is how the left operates. They will not be held to any standards, and they will hold you to whatever standards they want and move the goalposts as necessary. I talked a little bit about YouTube a second ago, and now I just saw this, and this is, I wish I could say it was shocking, but it's not. YouTube, if you express opinions that are not approved by President Fauci, they will deplatform you. If you express opinions that are contrary to whatever it is that the latest decree from the Centers for Disease Control on COVID, they will deplatform you. They will strip you of your all of it. They won't let you monetize. And if you do it too many times, you won't be allowed to publish things. They're very proud of that fact because they believe in science. And science is whatever Fauci and the CDC say, even if it contradicts what the science and the CDC and Fauci have said in the past, or even the past 5 minutes, it doesn't matter. Well, somebody noticed and did some screen captures of some ads on YouTube. You know, everybody, you go to YouTube, you go to any, you watch any video somewhere, and they're like, your ad will start in 30 seconds. And sometimes it gives you the option to, like, skip ad in 5 seconds. I don't know. Is there anybody who hasn't availed themselves of the option to skip an ad? But every once in a while, you see an ad and you're just like, what is that? Well, they are now running ads for hormone blocking drugs for trans children. Trans children. Meaning, no matter how young. These ads are okay. Now, these are videos, but I can read you the text on it. It is called Suprelin LA, something. Of course, it should have LA at the bottom. It's Suprelin LA. It says it's a subcutaneous implant, meaning they put it under your skin and it releases over time. It's a hormone blocker. It is a puberty blocker. It is using hormones to likely permanently alter somebody's body because at some point they said, I'm not a girl, I'm a boy, or I'm not a boy, I'm a girl. Now their text says, FDA approved, which is disturbing in and of itself. In a clinical trial, 100% of patients achieved uninterrupted luteinizing hormone suppression, LH. Hormone suppression. Estradiol suppression was present in all girls, 100%, through month 9 and 97% at month 12. Testosterone suppression was maintained in all boys, 100%. Now, a study of 36 patients, that should give you some kind of indication of how widespread, or actually not widespread, this quote-unquote problem is. 36 patients, 33 were girls, 3 were boys. And hey, there's your clinical trial. All right, the FDA says, knock yourselves out. Go ahead and plug this into the arms or necks or buttocks or wherever they put this of your children, because they, like many children are, maybe prefer dolls to action figures or vice versa. Obviously, you've got a trans child on your hands. And there are plenty of screen captures for this childhood interrupted is the theme of these ads. Childhood interrupted. It's puberty interrupted. Now, the kids that they're showing, I'm guessing they're 6 and 7 running around. So what YouTube is allowing for, what YouTube is expressly playing, I mean, you have to buy these ads through YouTube, is saying that this is cool, that this is okay, that this is great. Suprelin is an implanted releasing hormone medicine used for the treatment of childhood with central preoccuous puberty. It is not known if Suprelin LA is safe and effective for use in children under the age of 2. Which means that they are saying that it is safe and effective for use on children 3 and above. Do you say you don't believe Dr. Fauci, the SWAT team will kick in your door and you won't be allowed on YouTube anymore? But if you say, here, let me implant this time-release hormone in the arm of my 4-year-old, you can buy ads on YouTube all day long. You can probably post your own YouTube videos about it. Suprelin LA shouldn't be taken if your child is allergic to gonadotropin, releasing hormone. Of course, you shouldn't take the drug. In the first weeks of treatment of Suprelin LA can cause an increase in some hormones. During this time, you may notice more signs of puberty in your child, including things that I'm not going to read on the air. Within 4 weeks of treatment, should you see the signs that your child is puberty is stopping. I'm going to read that sentence again because I butchered it and because it's wildly important, because this is where the left is. This is where the federal government is. Within 4 weeks of treatment, you should see signs in your child that puberty is stopping. That puberty is stopping. Puberty doesn't stop. Puberty is stopped. And puberty doesn't really get, it's not like an old Dodge stalls, but you know what? If you can get it rolling, you can pop the clutch and get that sucker going again. No, this is the human body. This is a child's human body. And now they have advertising. Hey, is your kid trans? Does your kid want to have hormone suppression? Approved for ages 3 and up. We don't know about 2. But does that mean that they're working on the clinical trials on kids under 2? Now, here's some interesting side effects, because you can tell a lot about a drug by the side effects. Some people taking GnRH antagonists like Suprelin LA have had new or worsening mental psychiatric problems, including depression. Mental psychiatric problems may include emotional symptoms such as crying, irritability, relentless impatience, anger, and acting aggressive. Before your child receives Suprelin LA, tell the doctor if they have a history of mental problems. I can think of one big indicator that might check that yes box, but I can't say it. Call your child's doctor right away if your child has any new or worsening mental symptoms or problems while taking Suprelin LA. Don't worry, it's planted in the arm of your kid. Oh, doctor will just rip it out, and I'm sure that there will be no long-term damage from hormone therapy in boys to suppress the testosterone, or in girls to suppress the estrogen. What could possibly go wrong? Line up your kids. Get them all in here. Come on in. The water's fine. The modern left, ladies and gentlemen, they're coming for your... You could sit there and go, no, not my kid. They're coming for your kids. They want to make it so you have no say over your kid getting this. Your third grade teacher, little Billy, says, I'm really Betty. And next thing you know, counselors are brought in. Do you really think you're Betty? Do you really feel like you're Betty? Inside, because we can stop you. We can make sure that you become Betty if you want. It's sick and perverted. We are institutionalizing childhood abuse in the name of tolerance. You turn 18, I don't give a damn what you want to do. You can make your own decisions. You can live your life and ruin it however you like. I couldn't care less. I'm absolutely libertarian when it comes to that. I don't want to know. I don't want to celebrate it. I don't want to condemn it. I don't want anything to do with it. Knock yourself out. You start coming for kids, you're sick. and you've got a serious, serious problem. All right, I'll have more to say about the Chauvin trial tomorrow, the verdict, as more audio comes in, and or as audio comes in from the reaction and the jubilation, and you think, oh, people run home and wait for your George Floyd check. You're not getting a George Floyd check. Your life wasn't improved at all. The only way to improve your life is to do something with it that you find satisfying. And sadly, so many people out there don't do anything close to that. So I guess not sadly, they chose to do it. It's hard to feel bad for somebody hitting themselves in the face. That's what I view it. Anyway, maybe I'm too damn cynical. You can tell me so. Email me, DerekAllenHunter@gmail.com. Have a great Wednesday. Tomorrow, Thursday, we'll be back with more. See you then.